Welcome to the 2024 Virtual Region Convention and to our Sponsoring Across Cultures session.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ken G, and I am a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater, sugar and salt addict, alcoholic and drug addict, and I am both sober and abstinent by grace of the 12-step program. And the fellowship with all of you people showing up every day at all these various meetings. I've lost 150 pounds or so. But more important than the weight loss is the change in my life. I one time got up in the morning and cursed God for letting me live through the night when I was over 350 pounds. And now I get up and I look forward to the day, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you. One of the wonderful things about the Zoom is the international nature of it, not just the simplicity. And so I have several, I have four sponsees, men who I've been working with for a while. And one of them I want to talk about is from New Delhi, India, talking about crossing cultural lines. I've been working with, we'll call him Daryl for the moment, for several years. At first I thought, I'm sponsoring this as a foreign country. Everything is foreign. Everything is different. However, what I have found over the years is that there is a universality, not just of our disease, but also of human needs and wants. Ironically, I thought I was going to learn a lot about the Hindu religion, and of course, Daryl is Catholic. So, although I'm not Catholic, I certainly know more about Catholicism than I know about Hinduism. What is the commonality? Daryl could not stop eating. I could not stop eating. We were digging our own graves with our own teeth. So, what I have found is that in spite of the fact that there's a time difference, it's 10 hours. So I call him, we speak to one another, either in my morning and his evening or his evening and my morning. But the commonality is that working the steps and using the tools, he has, come very close to common weight, his weight goal. And I have found that with or without knowing the specific names of the specific foods, we're still talking about a certain amount of protein and a certain amount of vegetables and a certain amount of fruit. And having three meals a day with something in between and cutting out sugar and flour. So, what is universal? I was wondering how exotic it would be to be in New Delhi, India. And of course, it's just another big crowded city. And Daryl is not running around going to temples. He's working as a in the graphic arts for an ad agency. All very familiar, same kind of business. But more importantly than that, what he has found, and I'll try to say this, slow down, he found himself. And so in spite of the fact that he has been working as a graphic artist, he wanted to do a travel show, a travelogue, to show his India. And it took great courage to leave his work to go for his dream. And I'll end this segment by saying not only did he do that, but he did it in a very wise way. He had a sabbatical of 3 months in which to try to get the second business going, and has job security when he goes back. Very rational approach. So what I've found in this exotic, calling New Delhi on a daily basis, is that we're pretty much the same. His sweetheart is there trying to have a baby and succeed in their professional lives and not commit suicide with food. I also want to talk about my sponsor, who is from Newfoundland. So again, that's a cross-border relationship. I've been with him out for the moment. We'll call him Jack for several years. We have a common language. We do have speak English. I will say the Canadians are much more gentle in their approach to life, much more polite. Very, very briefly, he told me the following story. Two Canadians are outside of front of a big, huge store, and one of them is crying. One asks the other one, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Because I was in the aisle and a man raced around and he knocked me over and he raced off before I could apologize to him." That is the politeness of Canadians. Again, it's totally a commonality of the disease. The disease is our common thread, regardless of what language we speak, regardless of what we do to make a living. We are compulsive overeaters trying to free ourselves from using food as a method of suicide. I want to end by talking about the freedom that has come from not just speaking with people in the United States, but the opportunity to be speaking with people all over the world. Nobody is further away than a mouse click. It's amazing. And and it also has made it possible for me to go to a meeting every day, or every morning and every day, AA in the morning and OA at night. It's kind of like a song. And to identify with people in other countries and to find out that our disease is universal. And this wonderful relief that we get through the 12 steps and the 12 tools let us live a life free of that kind of suicidal behavior. We're not guaranteed. The big book says we can become relatively happy. I'm relatively happy. And the last thing I will say is just because I appreciate the program so much, it allows us to deal with the major problems in life and also the small ones. Of course, I ate over broken a shoelace. But currently in my life, I have had a relationship with a woman who's my domestic partner because she has domesticated me for 11 years. And it's been the best 11 years of my life. She also shares program. She's 10 years younger than I, and she has 40 years of program. I recently turned 80, and the health that I'm experiencing and the freedom is I owe entirely to higher power and to this program. So a year ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. We are both dealing it one day at a time. There she is, and I am. I clean up pretty well when I put on a tie. We get up in the morning and we look forward to the day. And we've so far so good. We know it will not last forever, but what matters is today. I do not time travel anymore. The past is the past, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I only know what I can do today to make life one as wonderful as I had dreamed it might be able to be. So, working with someone in India, working with a sponsor in Canada, speaking with people in Australia and all over the world at various meetings, not only opens up the world, but also opens up the concept that we are all the same. We have the same disease, and nobody was lying to me about their recovery, and no one was getting paid to tell me about their recovery. Neither am I. It is such a joy to live life this way, within 12-step way, that I just recommend it entirely. I have turned my will and my life over to the care of 12-step program and a higher power, and I have found peace and happiness that is beyond description, and able to handle anything that comes my way, and know that I'm going to land on my feet and be helpful to other people. As I hope I am being helpful today. I thank you very much for the privilege of being able to share some of my story.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me to be in this panel. I'm Martine, very grateful of her return recovery. And I'm going to start with a set-aside prayer. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know so that I can have an open mind and a new experience. Amen. I'm very, very happy to be here with you today. This is a first. I'm speaking in English and being translated into French, which is my mother tongue. So this is a funny turn of event. I am absolutely amazed by the international turn this program is taking now with Zoom. And I live in a very, very international city. There are people from all over the world in Brussels and all over Europe, actually, as the European Parliament is here. So I was used to speak different languages and hear different languages in my everyday life. When I joined the program, I was doing everything in French in my city, Brussels, and my sponsor at the time was already a rich experience in the fact that my religion that I was born in is Judaism. I'm Jewish. And my sponsor at the time was half Muslim, half Christian, and she was she really felt connected to both. So it was already a very interesting relationship on a spiritually point of view. Then with COVID in 2020, I joined Zoom meetings and I discovered international meetings. As I'm quite comfortable in English, I could attend meetings in English, and I discovered a whole new world in the program. I had to change sponsor at the time, and I was so impressed by one of the meeting I was attending at the time that I asked an amazing American woman to sponsor me, and I was very lucky because she said yes. And so I did my program in English. I already had all the books in French, and then I bought everything in English. And I discovered the big book. And so I did all my steps with her in English, and then she said, "Now you can be a sponsor." And because I wanted to bring that amazingness that I was discovering the program in English, it was so much richer than anything I ever did in Belgium, where the program is really not well known. I was so amazed by the decades of recovery, people with 15, 20, 30, 40 years of recovery. I would meet those people in the rooms in speaking English, and I would never have the chance to meet that kind of recovery in my own country or in France, which is the big country close to Belgium, who speak French, of course, also. So the little Belgian girl in a big international meeting with an American sponsor. And I was asked to be a sponsor by people not in Europe. And at first, I was wondering why do they ask me to be their sponsor when they could have someone who's in their own country, in their time zone? And I was so moved, and at the same time, I found it so interesting. So I have a sponsee now in Canada. I have a sponsee in France. I have one in Belgium, and I used to have one in South Africa. And the crazy thing is that South Africa is very, very far from Belgium, but we're exactly in the same time zone. Vertically, we're on the same line. So we're not in the same season. When it was summer for me, it was winter for her. But we were exactly the same time of the day. We were in the same time zone, which was handy but crazy when you see how far away from each other we were. So now what I the what I'm trying to bring is to bring that amazing recovery and the program as I know it in English. I really try to bring it to my country. So I sponsor, I like to call it the American way. It's probably not an American way, it's probably my sponsor way, but it's based on what I did with her. I sponsored that way in both languages now. I sponsor in French and in English, and I use books in French and in English. And I love it. I use those two languages, and it is so interesting to be able to do it in both languages and to see how it was said by the fellow before me, but it's incredible to see that 9 hours from here in West Coast Canada, the disease is exactly the same as the one I have in Brussels. And I relate to people who have exactly the same disease on the other side of the world in Australia. The meeting I attend the most is have people from all over the world, and we're not even in the same day. Some people are the next day because of time zones, and that is yeah, sorry, I'm come back to yes, what I try to sponsor people in Europe to be able to bring that recovery that I only met in US, in Canada, in English, in those countries. I really try to bring it here. So I try to bring my knowledge, the knowledge of my sponsor, and to also create meetings in French that are exactly like the meetings I found so interesting in English, and using the same literature but in French. And yeah, I was told that you give what you received, and I used to be a thief. I don't want to be a thief anymore, so I give back what I sow. And thank you so much. And I know that my sponsor is listening, so I love you. And thank you for inviting me, dear leaders, to this meeting. Thank you.
Hey everyone, my name is Sophie. I'm an alcoholic compulsive eating bulimic restrictor, and thank you so much for asking me to be of service here. And I would like to get started with a quote from page 19 from the big book, There is a Solution. And it goes like that. Most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions or attitudes, which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. When I heard the topic of the meeting that I was asked to share, and I thought, interesting. I have no idea what I'm going to say about this. Not because I haven't sponsored people from different cultures or different countries, just because I thought, well, what's actually the difference? So it really got me started to reflect upon a couple of things. And I'm very grateful for what I've heard from Ken and Martin. I'm just going to stick with the old wonderful formula, what it was like, what happened and what it's like now. So very briefly, I've tried all kinds of things to I'm not even really sure if I wanted to really stop or, you know, maybe just moderate drinking and binging and purging my brains out or not eating enough and doing all kinds of other stuff, or if I would really wanted to stop it. But, you know, all the things that I did try, lots of treatment center stays, all kinds of geographical cures, different other things didn't work. And I got sober and abstinent in Southwest Germany. And back in the days, there was still much more American military. And in one of the meetings where I got abstinent, and I had started, you know, that was what I heard in a meeting, which was started from Americans back in the days. So it was an English-speaking meeting in Germany. You know, pray for a sponsor. And that's what I did in one day. And, you know, ask someone who has what you want. And one day, this lady walked in and I'd never seen her before. And she opened her mouth and literally, I know it sounds a little bit cheesy, but that's the way how it was. She opened her mouth and I just knew that's the answer to my prayers. And she became my sponsor. And, you know, frankly, this experience has shown me cultures or nationalities don't matter that much. I don't believe that, you know, God works that way. So why do we? It has a lot to do with prejudice. That's always a word that I screw up. We just really got each other. And she actually taught me a lot about Germans. That, you know, I mean, I am German. I don't see some things in a certain way. Anyways, and the thing that was, I mean, obviously I live in Germany, so most people are not English speaking. Don't go to English speaking meetings. That's the first thing. And was very clear that I pass on what has been so freely given to me, as we already heard. And that's what I did. I do have to say, it's not something that I'm proud of, but it's true that I'm somewhat reluctant sometimes with German speaking meetings, actually really in both fellowships. Because there is not like the, you know, the, what my experience is, solution is in the steps. And, I mean, I need the fellowship. I need you guys. I need meetings to have this atmosphere, where I can recover. But the real solution is in the steps and in the relationship that I am building on a daily basis, hopefully to God. What I have come to find is I'm not a very tolerant person. When I was still drinking and binging and purging my brains out, I thought, oh, I'm so tolerant. Well, very easy. If you numb out yourself the way I did, I can be very tolerant. And I'm bringing this up, and this is why also this quote from page 19 is so meaningful to me, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding when people from different backgrounds meet each other, as we do in the fellowship. So for me, it's obviously not a mission impossible, because I think I only had twice a sponsor that was German. All the others were from different nationalities, different cultures, different backgrounds. And I don't think it matters one bit. I'm so grateful, really so grateful for these teachers, not only sponsors, but really sponsees. And if they come to me via Zoom, WhatsApp, or the phone, or eye to eye, face to face, doesn't matter. I see where growth needs to happen. And sometimes it's a fit and sometimes it's not a fit. One way or the other, I'm the one who's walking away, or should walk away. Now I'm shooting on myself, grateful, because I really need to, pass it on. And it's a beautiful thing. Not only do I need to do it, but it's a really beautiful thing. Thank you.
Sophie, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to our other speakers. So it's question and answer time. First question, living in the U.S., I'm having a hard time finding meetings in other countries on Zoom. How do I do this?
Hello. Well, thank you for the question. Actually, I did exactly the same. So you go to oa.org, and on oa.org, you have, yes, you can look for online, you can choose online meetings, and then you can choose all the meetings in a specific language, or I don't know if you can choose a country. I don't know. Maybe Ken knows. I know you can choose the language. But then when you see the list of the meetings, it's always indicated. It's always there what country it is. So when I was looking for meetings in English, I was looking for meetings, American meetings, or I also did a lot of Israeli meetings, and I would put Hebrew. So it's very easy to find through oa.org online meetings, and then you have different.
Thank you, Ken.
I think the only difficulty I had was finding a meeting in Yiddish. Other than that, they're listed by language, and you can see what country it is. It's rather simple. But it's like everything else. If you know how to do it, it's very simple. If you've never done it before, how do I get to a meeting? So just oa.org. That's why we give to, that's why we make contributions to oa.org, and not just our individual meetings, because they provide that service. It's a very valuable service.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. And thank you, Martine. So folks, any of you, just go to oa.org. That's our World Service website. And if you look up Find a Meeting, We have over 6,500 regularly scheduled meetings happening worldwide, and you can look up there's details, what language, what day, what time of day. How do you deal with sponsees who eat foods that may not fit, cultural foods that may not fit an OA food plan?
Can I answer that one?
Sure. Sophie,
Alcoholic Compulsive Eater, Bulimic Restrictor. I don't know that there is such a thing as an OA food plan. I mean, we have the dignity of choice. All of these are suggestions. I think it's really important to remember that we are not doctors, we're not professionals. So I don't have an opinion. I mean, well, that's not true. That's dishonest. I do have opinions. Just I better do not have opinions about what another person is supposed to eat. I work with a nutritionist, and actually, I also have really strong feelings about people who are bullying meetings, saying that it's like three meals and nothing in between. Well, that's great if you are, if that's the thing for you. That's not the thing for everyone. If someone is a restrictor, they might need to eat, five times a day, six times a day, whatever it is that their health professional has required them to eat. So I think it's a real thing that is something, everybody needs to have their own experience. I certainly did have to have my own experience. I do remember how my first sponsor, God bless her. She was so patient because in the beginning, I had to learn the hard way that even on a quote unquote good day, don't ask me what a good day was. I thought that, I can have, cake on a quote unquote good day. Well, guess what? I had to relapse again and again. But anyways, I think I brought the point across that was important for me to mention. Thank you.
Thank you, Martine.
Thank you. I totally agree that the food plan of my sponsees is none of my business. This is not my job. I always recommend to see a nutritionist or a dietitian, or to have their food. And they can have three meals, they can have snacks, they can have whatever they want, if it's okay with a professional who knows what they're talking about. But on a cultural way, personally, I have some holidays, Jewish holidays, where I'm supposed to eat certain food, because it is a symbol of those holidays. And my sponsor knows it. If it's there's a holiday where I'm supposed to eat something before the meal, and religiously I would like to do it, and I just tell my sponsor on that day I had this because religiously I'm supposed to eat this today, and that's okay. My abstinence is not just what I eat; it's being honest about it. So, if it is planned, if it's not a binge, and I'm going to have one more piece of fruit with a little bit of whatever on it, because religiously I'm supposed to, if it's okay with my sponsor and with me, and I'm being honest about it, it's not a problem. So, culturally, anybody can do that, and being honest with it. I would not have a red food, but if it's not a red food, it's really between my sponsor and I, and I would do exactly the sponsee. Thank you.
Do you have an issue with the language as a sponsee or as a sponsor? So I don't know if that means spoken language, as in different languages, or as in literature language.
I would like to speak to that.
Sure.
It hasn't has not been defined, but I think what we're talking about is the Big Book of AA and the subsequent OA literature, which was based on it, was written by a group of white Christian men in 1935 to 1937. And the language in that book is somewhat sexist and certainly idiomatically appropriate for the era. It's not particularly appropriate for our era, so we have to interpret some of it and or ignore some of it. Also, those places that are culturally sexist, so to speak. Again, we've it's this is not a diet club and it's not a book club. It's a program for recovery from compulsive overeating. And regardless of the language, if we read the literature and discuss it on a daily basis, we come to understand the universality of it and ignore some of the archaic language and or sexist language or for those people who are atheists or agnostics, all the God language also. There's very specific pieces of the literature that explain it is not necessary to have a specific God figure. And so I think the program is, as it's developing in our modern age, is just absolutely universal. We can just as everybody's food plan is individual, the timing of everybody's
That's
food plan
fun.
is individual. Thank you. The same, it's the same thing in interpreting the books.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we'll move on to the next question. And that is, in light of world issues, how do you work around outside issues if the sponsee has 10 steps around certain political concerns that affect them? And OA.org, if you want to go there and look up the PDF, there's a wonderful PDF of a letter that's been put out by the World Service Organization that basically says, if there is an outside issue that is affecting your recovery in your OA program, it's an inside issue. Okay, would any of our panelists like to also share about that?
Yes. Sophie alcoholic, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. I mean, yes, we can apply the traditions to our personal lives, and I think it's a great idea. Work life, family life, friends, whatever. Just what I see there is, I mean, obviously this is something between me and the sponsee, so I need to do a step 10. Doesn't matter what the sponsee believes or does not believe. Don't get me wrong, okay? brings me back to page 19 of the big book, tolerance, love and tolerance. I mean, that's really the watchwords of step 10. And I don't have to agree. Doesn't matter. I think it's a matter of growth. I do need to grow. So, if it's on group level, I think it's something different, just between a sponsee and me. That's a classical case of a step 10 that I need to do. The sponsee probably as well. Just in the way how I heard this question, it's something that I need to overcome. Thank you.
Martine.
Yes, I wanted to add something to the previous question. I think that if I, it's a very good question, actually, and I think I'm going to ask it to my sponsor as well. see what she thinks about that. I think that if I'm very uncomfortable with a topic that a sponsee would like to address in a tenth, and it's really disturbing for me, I think that I should be able to say it's a tenth. You can share it with someone else and be honest about it. Because I think that being honest with my sponsees is helping them being honest as well. So I think that's what I would do. But it's a very good question, and I never had a problem, so I'm gonna ask my sponsor also to see what she thinks about that. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to another question. Okay, conflict, sponsor-sponsee relationship. What would you do if your sponsee and you had different political views and it came into your relationship? If you both think the other person's culture is responsible for what's going on, do you continue working with him or her? Ken.
Well, that is very akin to the other question about outside issues. I tend to put use the steps and the tools as a guideline. In a meeting, an outside issue, political issue, is inappropriate. There's no question about that. How an individual meeting deals with it is another issue. Some people are very GI about it and just say and almost chastise the person for speaking of an outside issue, which of course sometimes chases them from a meeting, which is unfortunate. As from a sponsee and sponsor point of view, my yardstick is whether it's regarding their recovery or not. That's the real question. If I'm eating over fear, it can be fear of anything. It can be fear of a political point of view or a governmental action or something outside of the family. And with a sponsee, I feel that it's open. You know, it's very different. It's one-on-one. It's not a meeting. And I also have a handle on where my sponsee is coming from. In the sense that bringing up that kind of issue in a meeting, it surely comes out of left field. As you get to know a sponsee, you get to know what their fears and foibles are. And again, the yardstick should be whether what you are going to do, if you can, will help them or not. And sometimes it does come to the point where you have someone has to get a different sponsor, but that is another it's another question that comes up.
How has working with a sponsee who
Sponsor.
is involved in another culture, in another culture, helped enrich your OA recovery?
And my answer to that is as to get as much exposure to other cultures is enhancing in general. We live lives in our little island, and Zoom has opened up that island to the world. And having experiences outside of one's own experience m makes one grow. The 10th step is about growth. And growth as individuals and growth as and also avoiding digging our own graves with our own teeth. So I feel that that the I've had a sponsee in Australia. I mean, I have sponsees from all over the world, and each person gave me another outlook on life or another outlook on culture, and it was enhancing rather than because if there is an the problem really is only is if there is an irreconcilable difference. There are political issues, there are life issues, there are life issues of life and death that people are on different sides of the question. And I think this program helps open the mind to be able to have rational discussion with other people. If they're incapable of having rational discussion, then I have no control over that, besides to say thank you very much. Please find another sponsor because this can't work. We also have to think of our own program health, as it were, I think. Anyway, that's how I feel.
Martine, I think you were going to answer that question as well.
Yes, thank you, Sandy. Actually, I came to the program with a lot of prejudices about a lot of things, about cultures and nationalities and religions. And I didn't say that during my main share, but one of my sponsees is deeply Christian and very involved in her religion. And I'm quite involved in mine, and it doesn't change anything to our relationship. Well, it no, it does. It helps me be not only more tolerant but more teachable. Also, I learn about other beliefs and other religions and other habits, and that helps me in my defects of character. So yes, it does help my own recovery. And actually, having a sponsor in another culture and sponsees in other cultures both helps my recovery. Because it really opens the mind to tolerance. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you to everybody today. What a great session. What a great day. Thank you so much to the service team.